on you. Lord, we know that we're here in your presence, the presence of a holy God, and whatever we come with, you help us to just lift our eyes to you and concentrate our minds, Lord, on you, Lord. And we know that, God, we come to you with, if we're honest, with sin, with all these imperfections in our lives, God. We may think of Isaiah, sometimes we may think of him saying, I'm ruined. Sometimes we may feel the same way, Lord, but we know that just as he was forgiven, Lord, we have your forgiveness and we have your guidance to be worshipers of you and all we say and do. As we think about how you've forgiven us, Lord, it leads us to worship you. And more every day, more and more we think about your grace and your love, Lord. We know your love better. We know you better. And we serve you. We want to be obedient to you. Part of that right now is just wanting to hear your word, God, to understand it better so that we may put it into practice, Lord. I pray just for your help now, God, as it is. You know, all of us are here in that same, want to be here with that same heart, that same attitude, Lord. So help us just now as we, as your word is heard, it is taught, as it is understood, as it is lived out, God. We know that there is forgiveness. We know that there is grace when we confess that to you. We know that there is this hope that we have, no matter where we are. And so, Lord, we just want to give you our time and our attention now. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so the important question we ought to ask ourselves, what do each one of us need in our lives? And the answer is hope. Where do we find hope? From God and by worshiping Him. And that's what we're doing this morning. That's the hope that we have. So we're going to look this morning at one of the great chapters in the Bible concerning worship. This is Revelation chapter 4, and Revelation chapter 4, this chapter gives us the best look at heaven. These things that were written down, they were written down by John, who was being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the true author, being God, he led John to write exactly what it is that he wanted. And John wrote the things that he saw. The things that he saw were heaven. So we have to think about these things. We've never seen it. We've never witnessed it ourselves, but we have this hope even on this side of eternity. So we have to think in light of eternity. What gives us hope today? Well, we think about these things. We know that as we are in relationship with the Lord, as we are thinking about Him, we know that He is a just judging God, but not without mercy and grace. Okay. There is comfort for us in this way, when we think about the fact that God is merciful, as we just talked about, as we just sang about. That's what gives us hope. That's what gives us hope today, as we think about this eternal hope that we have. Yet we know also that there are people in our lives, people we're surrounded by, who don't know the Lord. And we want to be, and we know the Bible says there is wrath for unbelievers. But no matter who they are, no matter who we're surrounded by, our job is to give people hope, to point people to Jesus and say, this is the true hope. This is the true Savior. Today, many do not believe the Bible is true. This is one of the things that we know about, that gets taught about. And yet, hope comes from Scripture. Scripture, as we understand it, as we live it out, it renews our discipleship. We put off worldly ideas. We put on biblical ideas. This is what we do together as Christians. This is what we're doing right now. And we help one another do that. We do that as we talk to one another. That's the goal, as we talk and discuss about our lives. We want to help one another, offering whatever we can as the Lord leads us, whether that's prayer, whether that's encouragement. This is hope that we have no matter what, no matter what circumstances surround each one of us. We are the church. We are the body of believers in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read our text. This is Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I'll show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. It's the word of God. And so our worship should always be centered around God on his throne in heaven. All we need to know about worship and heaven is in the Bible. The Bible lays it out for us. All these beautiful things about the Lord. And it all centers, our worship should always be centered around God and his throne in heaven. We know that because of Scripture. That's point number one. How are we to learn about heaven? After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." We are to strive to look at heaven as John was allowed to look into heaven. In the right sense, he was to write, John was, about this amazing time of seeing worship in heaven for us to improve our worship today. He was to write about these things, and John, therefore, letter A, is permitted to give us details. We know what he's written down. Revelation 22:18, we read, "I warn everyone who hears the words of this, the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.' The grace of Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." So we have John, the human author, God, the divine author. God is the true author of Scripture always, who uses human beings. And he also used Paul. Paul saw heaven, but he could not tell us about it. John was able to write about it, and he told us. At this, up until this point, as Scripture was still being put together, God's throne is John's central theme. Point two. God's throne is John's central theme. We read about this in verses 2 to 7. "At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it." God was sitting on his throne, and still is today. Just as we hear about Jesus being on the throne in Scripture, this is what is going on in heaven right now. He's still there. He's still enthroned. This is a present reality. This is a right now, right here reality. God can never change. We can always depend on him. Letter A, the throne. It is a symbol of God's sovereignty and rule. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 22, John writes, "I did not see a temple in this city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." It's hard for us to grasp this. It is imagery, but we must try to understand God better every day. "I did not see a temple in this city, because the Lord God and the Lamb are its temple." One of the things that helps us to grasp these images is when we slow down and meditate on these images as we read the Scripture. So as we're going to go ahead and we'll read some more Scriptures here. Try to imagine these images in your mind as we read. God is the temple because God is the Spirit. It's hard for us to understand this, but we trust the Lord. As we continue to read and study, we keep seeking him. God helps us to put these things together day by day. Isaiah, as we've read this morning, earlier, helps us understand a little more about the throne also. Point B, letter B, I'm sorry, God is sitting on the throne. Isaiah 6:1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Psalm 47, verse 8, God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. Revelation 4, 3, and the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. This is more imagery about God on his throne. Are we disciplined in meditating on Scripture? That's one thing that we, it's easy to lose sight of that because we tend to absorb different things in life, but one of the most important things we can do is just take a verse of Scripture as the Lord leads you and focus on reading that verse, maybe once a day. Just slow down and read it and try to really take it in. Chew on it. Pray and ask the Lord to help you think about it, help you understand what it means, to apply it to your life. Are there images? Try to imagine those images in your mind. And that's how we are encouraged and helped to obey the Scripture better. In letter C, as we move on here, God's judgment is seen on the throne. Hebrews 12, 28 to 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Revelation 4, 5, from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. These are very dramatic things. In the Bible, God's judgment is always dramatic. It's loud. It's flashy. It's one of those things that we can read about and be humbled. And from judgment, we see righteousness. Representatives of the church at the throne. Letter D, representatives of the church at the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. 24 elders here, this is a church. Most likely it was 12 tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, and the apostles together. They were dressed in white. What does that mean? That was imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness. That's so encouraging because we think about Christ and his forgiveness toward us. What he's done for us on the cross. The imputation. Jesus took upon himself our sin. And he gives us his very righteousness. And therefore we are holy in God's sight. This is encouraging. This is who we are. Let's not forget that. This is who we are as Christians. Again, I'm thinking of Isaiah, just when he felt so guilty, when he saw God and he was terrified. And then we read about how his sin was atoned for. And he was, and it's just like those fears were stilled. And that is one of the things that we can think about when we're in God's presence. And we can also think about these elders here. They had crowns of gold on their heads. These are victor's crowns. Once we are in heaven, we get a crown. we get a crown. Once the race is over, we get a crown. The saints of the church age will be part of this worship. It is a promise to us. This is where everything is heading. Letter E, judgment and the seven spirits of God. This is verse 5. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Isaiah 11:2. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming. This is an irreversible promise to us. Number 3, the worship of God in heaven. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." We see God as holy. More on this in the next point. He is worthy of our worship. And that's one of the reasons. Why does God forgive us? He forgives us for his glory. He saves us for his glory. And so we have this understanding. He deserves honor and glory. And we know that Jesus is coming back for his chosen ones. He's coming back for us. Everyone that is in Christ by faith alone. So we have this understanding that God has forgiven us, and we are encouraged to, that's what leads us to worship him. We understand that he saved us so that we could worship him. That's the reason. And we do this knowing that one day we will be with him for all of eternity, seeing him face to face when after he comes back for us. And so we also understand that God is holy, as we've been talking about. Letter A, God's attribute of holiness. It is an attribute. And it's one of those attributes of God that we also have as believers. There are things about God that we as believers, we can never do the same thing. Like, he is the creator. We cannot create something out of nothing in the same way he has. Now, his holiness is different. As he is holy, God tells us to be holy. And this holiness is a complete separation from sin. And we understand the angels in heaven. Excuse me. There are angels who are not in heaven now. There are angels who fell due to sin. Some have sinned. We think about us as human beings, though. We think about us, and all have sinned. This is the reality of the fall. God is holy. We sing holy, 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 and we're not. We're not holy, in a sense, because apart from saving grace in Christ, none of us are. And even as believers, we have this remaining sin nature in us. But the reality, God still chose to love us and send his son to die on the cross for us. He saved us, and he sanctifies us. That means that whenever we, he sanctifies us, that means that whenever we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We appreciate that. We understand that. There is always hope for forgiveness. There's always hope for transformation. And that's one of the things that we have as our hope. This is all part of our worship. Letter B, the church is to worship the one who is worthy. This is the one of our guides. This is one of our guides to worshiping God. The scripture, as we think about it this morning. We will worship in heaven. We are to worship him no matter what is going on around us. We are to worship with how we live our lives on earth, in relationship with God and others. We worship the Lord. We seek him. We grow to become more like him. We have relationships with others. We encourage one another. We build one another up. No matter what the circumstances are as Christians, God provides those opportunities for that. And we know that there are people in this world who really are suffering. There are people outside our doors right now who are hopeless. Who don't have the Lord, who don't know about this hope that they could have, who have never tasted, never seen it. God gives us opportunity to point to him, to point to the Savior, to point to the one who is now enthroned in the forgiveness, the grace that he offers. In heaven for eternity without end, we will be worshiping God. This is our hope now. Be encouraged now. No matter how things seem in your life, in your sanctification, in your circumstances, this is where everything is leading up. So let's take this to heart. Let's remember and be encouraged now. God intends for us to set a standard of genuine worship to him based on the centrality of Jesus Christ and our devotion to him as our Lord and Savior. Is this your intent? This is our closing question. Write down how you plan to enhance your daily worship, beginning now and continuing to do so.
Coming. is the glory of the Lord to me, the light within our midst. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Does the Spirit move?